KGEZ 2020 News, always local, always up to date. And now, Tips to Grow On with Master Gardener Elizabeth Monica. It's brought to you by Columbia Nursery and Landscape, serving the Flathead for 26 years on 9th Street West in Columbia Falls. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning, John. Hi, Robin.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. Now, you always bring in little gifts.
I promised you a couple of weeks ago, I said I would bring in some sweet grass.
This is sweet grass.
This is sweet grass, mm, sure dried.
Is sweet. Uh-huh. Now, is this a nervous thing? You've woven it all together. You've braided it like pigtails.
Remember, I talked about the book Braiding Sweet Grass, and it's a native custom, and many tribes give a braid to people in gratitude.
We appreciate it.
So it's a very popular thing. I made a few braids, and it's amazing how it has been received with in gratitude and my gratitude. So it smells wonderful. And
yes.
I will talk about the other thing that I brought in just a minute. That gnarly little thing. Yeah, well, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good.
Good.
Wonderful.
Good.
I love your canopy outside.
Isn't that nice?
It's beautiful.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Suddenly it's here. Well, thank you for having me. And thank you, Columbia Nursery. I love driving along First Avenue East at this time of the year.
Oh,
I mean, not just
beautiful
in the
trees,
spring.
Yeah.
Yes, and I know next week I will bring a rake and bags, and I will steal some of those leaves. They are beautiful, beautiful. What are you harvesting out there? Are you still harvesting something?
No, everything's
John?
In now.
It's in?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you don't have a fall garden?
No.
No.
Well, we did put some garlic in the ground. For next year, yeah.
You did. How much garlic did you plant?
Oh, gosh, quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably more than we need, but...
Oh, you can never have enough garlic. You give it away. Homegrown garlic, it keeps
keeps the, what is it, Dracula?
Yes,
there.
Yes. No, it's wonderful. I'm so glad for you. Well, I know it's time that you listeners have probably pulled out some frost covers, if you still have something out there. You know, we have passed the first frost date, which is fine, but, you know, don't relax, you know, just a little reprieve.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a fall garden and your broccoli and kale and some root vegetables are still in, excuse me, Robin. it does do very, very well in freezing temperatures, even in the 20s. But, you know, it's good to have it protected. Yes. So having frost covers will buy you gardeners a few extra weeks of gardening time. But before I continue, I want to give special thanks to everyone who contributes to our lives in so many positive ways. And a special shout out to all the groups who provide dinners for the Warming Center. The Flathead County Democratic Women are doing lasagna night tonight, so it's going to be a wonderful, warm, hot meal for people. I had a couple of questions from last week. And again, the question was about pruning fruit trees at this time of the year. It's best done when the trees are dormant. Why? Because you don't want them to sprout again. We don't know what the weather is going to be like. If we have warm temperatures, there might be a chance that they sprout. We don't want that because it freezes again. And then about watering trees, what is the critical root zone? Well, picture a tree canopy as an umbrella. Open it. Outside of the rim is the root drip line, say that fast, and the critical, also called the critical root zone. So that's where you want to water. Water slowly and deep.
So what you're saying is the foliage up above and how broad it is lets you know how...
Where the roots are.
Oh, mm-hmm. That is very interesting.
And how do the roots, you know, take in water? It's from their ends,
right,
you know, from their very ends. So if you water close to the trunk, you know, eventually those roots will get some water, but why?
Now, some have kind of a deep tap root, though,
uh-huh,
don't they?
Mm-hmm. Well, they still have runners going out and, right. and those little root hairs, of course. I have a resource for you if you want to know more about winter watering trees, and that is the Colorado State Extension link, and that is extension.colostate.edu. So in the past couple of weeks, we've talked about preventing winter-related injuries to your landscape trees, deciduous and evergreens. So this morning, I want to talk about preparing your vegetable garden for winter and spring. Why spring? Well, whatever we do in the fall helps the garden in the spring. John, you cleared out your garden, and yep. it is ready to go. You did your housekeeping.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't.
Yeah, well.
Judy did.
It got done.
It got done, yes, so, yes.
Yeah, thank you, Judy. Why do we do that? Well, it's good housekeeping, and we clean up dead plants. It's also good sanitation. It cuts down on the spread of disease and pests. Especially if you've had fungal diseases. Apparently, in some parts of the state, we've had a lot of white mold. I'm not aware of that here, but that doesn't mean it's not there. Of course, we always see powdery mildew. So if you've had those plants with some diseases, do remove them completely. Not taking care of good sanitation could possibly mean life or death of some treasured plants next season. So winter gives our gardens a chance to regenerate. So we do whatever we can to help the gardens with that. And that means the soil, of course. So everything we do in the fall helps our gardens in the spring. Do you know what your soil texture is, John? Do you know?
Mm-mm.
It must be good because your garden was thriving, right?
We got some good soil when we put it in those uh-huh. raised beds.
And you have raised beds, yes.
Yeah. And we've been taking good care of it.
Not so much of an issue. So,
right.
So you've used compost. So does, listeners out there, does your soil need amending? Do you know what kind of soil you have? And we'll talk about that next week, about your soil texture, what it's made of. So how do we do this good housekeeping? Well, like I said, we remove debris from beds. If it's diseased, discard it because it may harbor insect eggs. Do not compost in that case because your pile may never heat up enough in our winters to kill pathogens. Many gardeners cut down plants to the soil line and leave the roots in the ground. Why do we do that? Well, if you are sure that your plants were healthy, you may, because worms and bacteria and fungi and other microorganisms, they feed off of those roots. And so that creates nutrients for your soil and food for your plants next year. So, okay, if you know your plants were disease-free, it's okay to do that. Another thing to do to prepare your garden for the winter and next spring is you dig leaves into the soil. It's a little more work, but it helps the soil in the long run. So what do some people do if the bed, their ground beds are really, really in bad shape? They might dig a trench and then bury the leaves in that trench, and then next spring plant next to the trench. So then the following year, you do it in reverse. So that's a wonderful way of reconstituting bad soil that you might have. Or, of course, you might shred the leaves with your lawnmower and cover the beds, work it in lightly. And some people leave some bigger leaves for butterfly larvae and eggs for next year. I've never done that, but I know people who do, and they're very happy with that. You spread a layer of finished compost, and that amends the soil and prevents winter soil erosion. Now, some people might say, why can't I do that in the spring? Well, by the time you can work the garden in the spring, it might be much later than your soil needs help, meaning your soil is wet, you can't get into the garden, we might have a longer snow layer like we did this year, and you just can't get to your beds. So it's better to do it in the fall, and then your garden will be working for you. How about sowing a cover crop? Have you ever done that?
No, I never have.
Vetch. Yeah.
So, yes, you're right, Robin. You're absolutely right. That's one of them. So some people use clover, some people use barley or millet or winter rye or any kind of legumes, and that's the one you mentioned, Robin. It's very helpful to improve the soil texture. So let's say you have a patch of garden that has just really, really bad soil, and you want to cover it. Leaves won't do it. It's not enough. So plant a cover crop. Now is the time to do it between August and mid-October. And it adds nutrients to the soil. Ask at the nursery which one is best suited for your needs. Okay, some are no-till. Some are even winter edibles. So what does it do? It fixes the nitrogen at the plant roots. So in the spring, you either, if it's a no-till kind of a cover crop, you just leave it or you turn it over. And you've done something wonderful, wonderful for your soil. So ask at the nursery which might best suit your personal needs. John and Robin, I know you both like tomatoes. Did you know there are cover crops that are companions for tomatoes?
No.
Yeah. Which is oats and winter rye. And that is science-backed. I can't give you the link right now, but it is, and many, many people. So in the spring, you leave the mowed stems of your cover crop and plant the transplants right through the stems. So the nutrients are in there, and it helps the transplant your seedling right away. So,
I don't know, which is the cover crop, the tomatoes or the...
No, the tomatoes, they would not survive in the winter, but it's oats or winter rye.
Okay.
So, you know, then in the spring, cut it down, and then plant your tomato.
But don't plow
right
it up.
Inside. Nope, don't.
Just plant
it.
That
plant
seems to be the new deal. You don't plow, you just kind of implant.
Well, tilling is a topic that we could talk about for hours. Because, I mean, the movement to no-till, there are many reasons why we shouldn't till. But
could
we'll
prevent
do that.
The next Dust Bowl.
We'll do know. That another time. You're so right, Robin. I mean, it's very, very connected. So if you need to know more information about cover crops, go to the University of Maryland Extension link, and that is extension.umdavid.edu. So why in the fall? We're allowing our amendments to work for us in the winter. So I will suggest what you may plant now, John, after we go to the nursery. Well, you already mentioned what you can plant now. It's garlic. So in our region, we plant hardneck garlic. Don't say that too fast. So if you've never done it before, I strongly recommend it. You'll be so happy next summer when you're harvesting. But if you've never done it before, if you're new to the area, there's a wonderful Mont guide out, and I think it's called Growing Garlic in Montana. But go to msuextension.org. Something else you can plant now, believe it or not, are radishes. Even if we get a freeze, if we get a snow cover, the same applies to spinach. It won't continue growing, but it'll be protected. The tops might die on radishes, but you know, try it. Gardeners experiment with all kinds of things, but if you don't have any seeds, ask at the nursery that you want a hardy variety. The same applies to spinach. Spinach can even survive under snow covers, keeps it warm, doesn't continue growing, but it'll be there for you. Raspberries, blackberries, but do mound the soil around the berry bush to make sure that you don't get any frost heaving. You know what that is. The ice gets under the soil and kind of heaves it up. So mulch it well. Garden to table. John, I think you said this morning that you never know what you're going to get from me. And you're right. Garden to table. Jerusalem artichokes. And that's what I brought in.
Oh, that's what these are. Artichokes.
Yeah. Some people call them sunchokes. They're also called perennial sunflowers. They have a beautiful yellow, small sunflower blossom.
These are artichokes?
These are called Jerusalem artichokes. So they are tubers. I would have, I brought a knife in, and I'm tempted to offer you a taste, but I can't because you see it's been chewed on.
Oh.
And so I don't know what you know could be on that. If you were, I did taste it. It has a neutral taste. It's crunchy. It's delicious.
Mm.
It tastes like a combination radish potato. Health benefits. It's a prebiotic. It's wonderful. It helps your gut health, your digestion. It's good bacteria. When they talk about bad bacteria and good bacteria, this is good bacteria.
Well, it looks like a tumor.
Yeah.
Wow. So, but we can plant this and it makes more?
It would, yes.
Wow.
It would. All right. And you're welcome to have it if you would like to have it.
Will it survive the winter?
It will survive the winter, yes.
I think we'll put it in the ground and see what happens.
Absolutely.
I think so, rather than eat it.
So the Cleveland Clinic says it benefits blood sugar levels, regulating blood pressure, reducing cholesterol. You eat it raw, you grate it into salads, sautéed, roasted in soups. It makes a wonderful cream of sunchoke soup. So if you are so inclined and lucky to get some, enough for a bowl of soup.
All right.
Then next week, whatever the season presents us with, but I think we need to talk about soil texture. And remember your houseplants. I hope you've brought them in by now. Needs in the valley, think of your local food bank again, okay? But before I close, I would like to leave you with an anonymous quote on the changing of seasons. Autumn exists to remind us that things must end in order to begin again. Thank you for listening. Be well. Remember, we're in this together, and pay forward if you can. October 15th is International Rural Women's Day. So let's honor our rural women.
All right.
Thank you.